Tweed. And that was one of my favorite songs by Mary Black. It's called Both Sides of the Tweed, and those beautiful lyrics were written by the great poet Robbie Burns, seeking a resolution to the ongoing conflict among his people, which to this day still simmers. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning here on Positively Revolting Talk Radio. It's a kind of a wet and drippy morning out there, and spring has sprung, and, you know, rain is good for the flowers. So this morning I'm going to be here by myself. Ani Haynes is really occupied with a really exciting conference that's happening here in town. The National Federation of Community Broadcasters is having its annual conference here in Portland for the first time, and KBOO is very honored to be the hosting station, and she's all caught up in that and won't be able to join us. I'm Melody Silverwolf, and I'll be hosting this morning, and I have two wonderful guests, Sean and Dan from Veterans for Peace, and we're going to talk about a couple of very exciting developments that are going to be happening here in Portland very soon. There's going to be a peace park being created and a special event to commemorate its creation. So let's see. Gosh, I'm not quite sure where to start. I guess I'll start by asking you to introduce yourselves.
Okay. Good morning. I am Sean Lewis. I'm president of the Portland chapter of Veterans for Peace.
And my name is Dan Shea. I'm with Veterans for Peace, chapter 72. Also, I'm a Vietnam veteran, served in Vietnam in 1968. And myself am a Agent Orange victim and just recently returned from Vietnam on an Agent Orange conference here in January.
Well, welcome to the show, and I'm really honored to have you both. And now, you know, a lot of our listeners may be familiar with, we have a veterans show every other Wednesday here on KBOO that's done by a number of people who are involved with Northwest Veterans for Peace. But this is you're with a different organization.
Yes, Veterans for Peace Chapter 72 is the local chapter of a national organization, Veterans for Peace, based in St. Louis. Northwest Veterans for Peace is a local organization that chooses to operate on their own without the national umbrella.
Yes, I mean, I can understand that. I think there's room in every movement for lots of different, you know, different voices and different perspectives. And I think that, you know, there's advantages to both, having worked with national organizations and local ones as well. So, Dan, you are the person who has actually served in Vietnam. Maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about, first of all, about the peace park that's being created here in Portland. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, actually, Sean was one of the people that was worked on helping develop that. There was a gentleman that came to our meeting and put forward a proposal about the possibility of creating a memorial to all veterans, and we wanted to create something around a peace park. I think Sean can give you a little more detail on how that all began.
Okay, well, let's hear from Sean then.
Well, about 6 months ago, local realtor named Brad Perkins came to us with this idea of a peace memorial park that would be unlike any war memorial you've ever seen, in that its goal is to memorialize all who have died and suffered as a result of war, not only the veterans, not only our side, but all victims, particularly civilian victims of war. And so as a long-term project, right now we are just starting phase one, which is the adoption of the green space from the city of Portland. It's up in the Rose Quarter, just at the east end of the Steel Bridge, and it's really quite nicely suited for a peace memorial park. It's a large triangle, about an acre and a half. The center of the triangle is a 75-foot diameter circle already defined by a sidewalk around the perimeter of it. And so as our beginning stages of this, we will be planting a peace symbol in grass and flowers in that 75-foot diameter circle. And then for the next 2 years, is what we're committed to right now, we will be maintaining the landscaping of that space, as well as inviting the entire Portland peace community to come to the space and to call our own and establish this Peace Memorial Park, and then eventually we'll be looking into creating a larger monument type of Peace Park there in the Rose Quarter.
That sounds really exciting. I like that idea. You know, I've always found it really troubling when you see people with bumper stickers that say, God bless America or support our troops. Like, what about the rest of the world? Shouldn't God bless them too? And what about everyone's troops? I mean, everyone deserves the same consideration, not just people from our side, as you put it.
Yeah, and as far as the support our troops, I mean, that's become a slogan for don't question the president.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it has.
And,
it's code.
It is absolute code. And, you know, when you look at what it takes to support troops, actually very few people bearing those bumper stickers are doing very much.
Well, yes, indeed. And then, of course, they accuse those of us who want to end the war, which I consider to be the ultimate support of those troops, to be traitors, which is, well, that's a whole other discussion. Dan, I wanted to ask you, there's also an event commemorating something that happened 35 years ago that's taking place, is it not, as a sort of a connected event to the creation of this park.
Yeah, in April of 1971, thousands of Vietnam veterans marched on Washington demanding to be heard. And it was their voices that helped change America. This is where the veterans were throwing their medals across the fence in Washington, D.C. This is really the beginning of Vietnam veterans against the war.
I remember that.
These are things. And I had already returned back to the United States at that time and wasn't really coherent about what was going on, because when I had came back, the only thing I was interested in was, you know, finding a job, trying to forget the war.
I can imagine.
But when I saw 1971, I remember I was taking some classes at community college, and at that time at Portland State University, there was Failing Hall, which then was Portland Community College. And I remember coming out of a class, and that was the day in which, I think it was May of 1971, in which the police came down and attacked the people protesting the war. And I remember looking out the window and seeing this woman just walking across, not really involved in it. She was a pregnant woman. I saw these cops beat her to the ground. And I'm going, what the hell is going on? This is sort of the beginning of a consciousness of
this
dissent.
This is what I fought for. Yeah.
Beat
a pregnant woman up as she walks across the street. Yeah.
Plus, you came back, and there were other things. People were shooting each other in the streets. There were gang wars going on. And it began to happen again as we're looking at Iraq, as veterans come back, where, you know, most of us are affected by post-traumatic stress. There's higher incidences of domestic violence. People go nuts. And,
well, plus,
you know,
the DU contamination that people suffer now
from
the Gulf Wars, both Gulf Wars, but probably more so in this one because it's been prolonged exposure compared to the first Gulf War. People were not in country as long, you know.
Right. I was there the first time, and I was only there for about 3 months. And started exhibiting symptoms of what would become known as Gulf War Syndrome about 6 months after I got back. And
you're just imagining it. It's all in your head.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little closer to my
And
face?
One of the things that that really struck me very early on with the current invasion and occupation is how I've been affected personally, and the fact that most of these troops have been there much longer than I was, exposed to the same things that I was exposed to. And many have not only been there longer, but have been there repeatedly.
Well, not only that, but, you know, I mean, just imagine what it would be like to be an Iraqi child or something. And, you know, generations to come are going to be affected by that, not to mention all of the, you know, the rest of Europe in that area, because of, you know, weather and wind movement and all that, it's gonna spread. And, of course, the wildlife that migrates is going to all be contaminated. It's really bad. It's really bad.
There has to be a connection put back. I think, you know, people are still fighting Vietnam. These people wanted to. They lost that war. They're out there saying they want to win another war. They've been picking on countries that couldn't defend themselves.
But of course, all these people are chicken hawks in the
That's
White House.
Right.
None of them went to Vietnam. None of them went to any
That's
wars.
Right. But I just, like I said, I just came back from a conference. It wasn't in January. It actually was February, March, I mean, March 28th, 29th, when I was at this conference on Agent Orange. Now, when I said I came back, I got married, I'm trying to live my life. I had a child that was born in 1977. And that should have been the most joyous day of my life. But my son, they immediately noticed that he had was blue and he had to be put in an incubator. And he was born with congenital heart disease, cleft palate, and some other abnormalities.
And
he was with us. He was with us for 3 years before he had to go for a surgery for his heart shunt. And at that time, he was an oxygen shock to the brain, and he went into a coma. It was 7 weeks in a coma. Before he died in my arms.
That's so terrible. I'm so sorry.
And that's what I. And then when I went to Vietnam, there were people, other kids that we saw in Friendship Village and Peace Village and a number of other organizations that were taking care of now third generations of kids where dioxin had actually mutated the gene process, the DNA process, and they expect this to go on for maybe 7 years, seven generations. Well, when you think about that, that's over 35 years ago, you know, and we're talking about now depleted uranium, which is going to be in billions of years in its life.
Yeah, I think it's a 250,000-year half-life. That's what
something like that,
is.
Yeah.
Oh, but DU is perfectly safe, according to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
That's what they claim. You
yeah.
mean, don't believe the Pentagon?
Well, that reminds me of, like, my father's experience, who did three tours in Vietnam was exposed to Agent Orange, retired from the Air Force in 1978, and in 1988, which was the same year that I enlisted in the Army, 1988, he died as a result of the Agent Orange exposure. And then in 1998, 10 years after his death, the Pentagon and the VA finally acknowledged the link between Agent Orange and the disease that killed him. And so this always leaves me, as a Gulf War vet, wondering, what are my kids going to be reading in the paper 10 years after I die?
Well, I think that's a reasonable
that's
question.
Right.
And I think it's just the most outrageous thing about the whole military experience since I've been alive. And, I mean, there's been a lot of outrageous things that have gone on militarily in this country, is the way that we've treated veterans. I mean, we send them over to a war, especially in this particular war. They're not equipped with the proper equipment. They're in danger. We treat them horribly. Then they come home. We cut their benefits. We cut their housing. We tell them they're imagining things when they're really sick,
right,
because of something we did to them, and tell them that there's nothing wrong with them and to go away. We cut the funding for veterans hospitals. I mean, it's just outrageous. It's appalling. I can't understand why the American people have not risen up and said, this is unacceptable. If you really support the troops,
well, I think
then you support them having benefits and being treated well
yeah.
when they come home.
Well, I think people have been rising up. I mean, they rose up before. They've been rising up over and over. But the media is the mainstream media is complicit with it,
yes,
in its silence. These people have learned that, you know, instead of responding to the demonstrations, which are not just happening in this country but
no.
all over the world, they just ignore it. They turn a blind eye. And this is the kind of problems that I think that we have to start looking at what's going to be happening. Immigration is another issue which is a major focus we're having. I worked with I'm a second generation Latino. My father was born in Panama. And I've been involved in Latin American issues since 1984 through a number of different groups over the years. And working with just last year with high school students from five high schools with the Mecha and Latino groups, we marched for their benefits. But they finally put the connection together and marched against with a sort of a slogan, education, not war, because they know it's the money that's being drawn away. And then they condemn, you know, then they can use racism and as a form to blame others for what's going on in this country instead of making the connection between the dots of the money that
right.
the billions and trillions of dollars that are going towards this war for what?
Well, then, of course, racism feeds more war. It's all part of the cycle.
That's right.
So we never did quite finish talking about the commemoration that's happening tomorrow at the Peace Park. I wanted to get that out so people will know all about it. And, of course, we'll announce it more than once during the show.
Sure. It's going to be noon at Portland Peace Park near North Interstate. and Oregon. And we're also going to at that event we're going to have a number. That's tomorrow. We're going to have a number of speakers. But we a couple of our people who are actually there during that period of time. Mike Mullane, who was witness to that, who was there and a veteran, a Vietnam veteran. Also, we're going to burn the Patriot Act. This is our protest,
like,
you know, when you start thinking about that. And I just, you know, I was sent by one of our colleagues that brought it up, that there are like a number of grassroots opposition to the Patriot Act. And as of 2005, 372 towns, cities, and counties on five states, including Alaska, Montana, Maine, and Vermont, and Hawaii, have voted to pass laws that declaring that their state or their city is Patriot Act free zones. This is something we should be working on here. I mean, that's a great idea.
It just really it amazes me that you know, like someplace like Gary, Indiana, I think, passed one, and we don't have it. I mean, this is supposed to be Little Beirut. What's wrong with us? I don't quite get it. So now that's tomorrow at noon. You're going to be having this commemoration of Operation Dewey Canyon. But when is that the time when people are going to be constructing the Peace Park as well, or is that going to be a separate event?
The Peace Park, the Peace Memorial Park groundbreaking will be on Sunday, this weekend. We work party from 9 to 5, and we are going in to till up the earth and prepare it for laying the sod and planting the flowers the following weekend. So we're planning a large work party for Sunday, and of course anybody who wants to come down to lend a hand, we will certainly be able to put them to work.
And it's supposed to be nice weather, so that should be a good thing. Now that's at the corner of, near the corner of Oregon, of Interstate and
Yeah, it's in the Rose Quarter. The intersection is North Interstate and Northeast Oregon Street. That's how you find it on Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And the east end of the steel bridge on your right as you're coming off the bridge. One block south of the Rose Quarter MAC station. You know, from all these descriptions, should be able to triangulate.
It's right on the
and
river there.
Yes.
I think I know exactly where you mean.
Yeah, right by the Esplanade.
So I still have to find it.
So are you asking people to bring, gardening tools and all that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, bring your own work gloves and the types of gardening tools we're going to need for this weekend will be like hoes,
pickaxes, that kind of thing,
heavy rakes, things to, you know, pick out the weeds and sod stuff that's there, so that as we prepare the ground for the planting the following weekend.
And this is really, and of course it's Earth Day, that's really perfect.
Right,
in a way.
And actually the timing was fortuitous for us. This is the 35th anniversary of Dewey Canyon 3, the week that we're in right now. Dewey Canyon 3 in 1971 started on April 19th and finished up on April 23rd. And so just very good timing for us to have April 22nd in the midst of that and have Earth Day and have the opportunity to hold it in the Peace Memorial Park. All, you know, just a convergence, if you will.
I think that's, you know, it's a wonderful synchronicity. Well, this is a call-in show, and I'd like to invite our listeners to join this conversation. I'd especially love to hear from veterans out there, but certainly that's not a requirement to be a veteran. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. Let's hear your questions or comments. The phones are open, and we are, of course, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Dan and Sean from Veterans for Peace, and they're telling us all about not only a commemoration of Operation Dewey Canyon 3 tomorrow at noon at the newly created Portland Peace Park, but of course on Sunday there's going to be a work party there to create the Peace Park for real and make it beautiful. And so you're planning on adding a whole bunch of phase two. You'll be adding some actual physical memorial pieces of some kind, as well as putting in the peace sign and the groundwork.
That's the goal. Yes. Phase one is strictly the landscaping, sod and flowers, and one totemic peace pole at the top of the peace symbol itself, and maintaining the grounds, basically showing the city that yes, we this is something we want, and this is something we are going to be working for. And phase one, we're actually looking at 2 years before we later on start pulling the funds together and the permits together to actually build something more permanent. But right now, it's within the adopt a green space realm of the city program.
Yes, I understand. Did you want to say something?
Well, one of the things is it becomes a visual image, not just for I'm an artist also, mm-hmm. so I use art as a way of expressing my opposition to all injustice in one form or another. And here we're taking a architectural landscape kind of design to represent not just commemorating veterans, but the idea of commemorating people working for peace. We are veterans working for peace, but there are lots of people and lots of organizations. We want people to use the park, to come there if they're going to hold a rally or march, to start from there or to march to it. It's something that can become a visual image for the city, saying that we are the ones that are trying to put forward an idea towards peace, and that, you know, that we shouldn't be fighting wars. There's no reason to fight wars.
I totally agree. Well, it's 1 minute before 8 o'clock in the morning. My friends, you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and we have a caller ready to join this conversation. You can be one, too. Call 503-231-8187. And, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd just like to suggest a bumper sticker for all those people that don't want to have a support our troops sticker. They could have one that says, "Thou shalt not kill in the name of George."
Oh, I like that.
And I wish you guys all the best. I love what you're doing, and lots of flowers. Thank you.
Thank you. So, as I said, our number is 503-231-8187. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more, either one of you, about a little bit more about Operation Dewey Canyon 3. What was that operation originally that prompted the veterans to march on Washington and throw their medals over the fence?
It actually started in Michigan a few weeks before that with the Vietnam Veterans Against the War as a coming out of their coffee shop program, which was veterans coming together to talk about their traumas and things. Coming out of that, the Winter Soldier hearings, which were public hearings held in Michigan by the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, with Vietnam veterans talking about the atrocities that they had participated in or had witnessed in engaging that war. From that, they wanted to take the transcripts of those public hearings and take them to Congress. So they converged on D.C. in April of 71, got there on the 19th. They had several things that they wanted to do. They wanted to visit Arlington National Cemetery. They had Gold Star mothers meeting them there. So that they could go to Arlington National Cemetery. The gates were locked on them, and they were all turned away. They went back. They went back to the Capitol lawn. They had no accommodations in D.C. They camped out on the Capitol lawn, and they went back to the cemetery, to Arlington National Cemetery. Went back there the following day, and after raising a protest outside the locked gates, they were finally allowed in to visit the gravesites of their children and their buddies.
I can't believe they locked the Gold Star mothers out of Arlington. That's, even for that time, that's pretty drastic.
Yeah, it was all pretty drastic. And then there, the Capitol Police were ordered to roust them out of the Capitol lawn, out of the Capitol lawn area. And it went through courts unbelievably quickly. The courts said, yes, get them out of there. Appeals court said, no, let them stay. Supreme Court, in one of the fastest turnaround decisions in history, came back and said, no, they got to get out of there. Capitol Police, given the order to roust them out, refused at first. And then members of Congress came out of the halls and stood out on the lawn with the Vietnam veterans.
Good for them.
And said, no, we need to hear this. And as a result of all of this, finally, the spokesperson for Vietnam Veterans Against the War, which was a Vietnam veteran ex-Navy named John Kerry, was finally allowed to come in and give testimony to a Senate committee about the truth on the ground in Vietnam.
For which he was later excoriated and, dumped on by the so-called Swift Boat Veterans for Peace or whatever.
Yeah, well, John O'Neill of Swift Boat Veterans was the same guy that Nixon hired to smear Kerry back in 71, too.
Mm-hmm.
The guy has a lifelong contract, basically, to smear Kerry and any other peace veterans he can.
That just, you know, the fact that we live in a country where people, are not willing to honor people that are supposedly have done their duty to their country and are supposed to be, on one hand they call them heroes and on the other hand they lock them out of cemeteries and tell them they can't speak in front of Congress. I'm ashamed to be so an American sometimes, the way that, you know, that we are so two-faced in this country and the way that we, you know, we use people and then, you know, we don't honor them at all afterwards. It's really disgusting. Well, we've got a couple of callers, so I want to talk to one now. So, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Hey, one of you guys, I don't know who said just a few minutes ago that you were against all injustice. Am I correct?
Yes.
What do you feel, how do you feel about the injustice of the unborn child being murdered at the rate of probably 25 to 30 million in the last 20 years, which is more than all the world's put together as long as we can remember?
Well, you know, you're dealing with another question. We're talking about people directly going out and murdering people in the name of a country. I have a different belief than you do. I've gone through a number of religious experiences, and you're starting to get into the idea, when does life begin? And I want to talk about people that are already here and existing on the ground. And
well,
if you have a person in front of you,
they're just in the womb. I mean, they're
caller,
they haven't been born
caller,
yet.
Please, if you're going to interrupt our guest, then he can't answer your question.
All right, go ahead.
So what I'm talking about is when we can spend our tax dollars to go and murder other people's children. I have respect for people to make their own decisions about what they have to do about life. We shouldn't, there's a lot of things. I'm pro-choice, and I think that is pro-life. And I think that people need to address that issue on another forum. I think that that's a different conversation, and that's one that should be addressed by a number of other people.
And I'd also like to add that since you are of the male persuasion caller, that, you know, it's really a female's decision to make in each individual case. So I think it's sort of not really germane to this conversation.
We've murdered 20-plus million human beings.
That's your opinion.
Okay,
that's
and if you're in favor of justice for all, how can you be pro-choice?
Let me say one thing that the other question would be if you believe in the pro-life sort of position, are you against wars?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think that to their credit, some people who are against abortion are against all killing. They're against capital punishment,
right.
You know, all that sort of thing. But others are not.
That's right.
So let's go to our next caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I was thinking that this is a great thing, and I wanted to ask for contact information. I heard the announcement of where the location is, but I'm curious about how people can become further involved.
Phone numbers, websites, all that sort of thing.
And the ongoing process of the memorial.
They're getting their wallets out.
Sean can't hear
okay,
you.
Okay, here we go. Well, here's Veterans for Peace, Chapter 72. Their website is www.vfp, for Veterans for Peace, Chapter 72, all one word, .org.
And email sent to info@vfpchapter72.org will reach me, Sean Lewis. I'm the president of the local chapter. And anyone who wants to help out, wants to find out how they can help out, whether it's by labor, by donation, or by helping to coordinate any of these things, if you contact me at info@vfpchapter72.org, then we can get the ball rolling on that. Also, people who would like to take a look at our plans for the Portland Memorial Peace Park are invited to visit our website, again, www.vfpchapter72.org/peace-park.
that's good. And also, you know, not everybody, some people are web impaired, so do you have a phone number?
503-282-5015.
There you go. So, so caller, are you a veteran?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a veteran of the activist movement.
That's great.
I was a part of Portland Police, or excuse me, yeah, the police were there too, but Portland Peace Camp, which was a demonstration that held for about 5 months in 2003 across the street from City Hall.
Oh,
yes. Oh, we probably met there as I was coming by with pizza.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. We had a lot of people come and do that. We had people that yelled mean things at us, but we also had people come and obviously not bringing leftovers. We had great dinners that I have no idea where they came from.
Pizza for peace. You got to like it, you know.
All kinds of things happening. And, you know, currently, I don't know if I can mention a weekend plug. Sure. I'm working as a board member with Food Front Co-op, and they're having an Earth Day member owner appreciation day that is open, of course, to the general public as well. And
excellent.
That's part of their Earth Day festival this weekend.
And you're at 24th and Thurman, right?
That's correct.
That's great.
Well, that's a good thing to do. It's a lot of things going on this weekend. It's, you know, spring is springing, and we're kicking into high gear. All kinds of exciting things are happening. It is Earth Day, and you're having the Food Front thing. The Peace Park commemoration is tomorrow. There's all sorts of things going
on. Amy Goodman's in town.
Yes, indeed. The National Federation for Community Broadcasting is happening. It's just, you know,
Never
it's crazy around here.
I have to miss that and the opportunity to go see that because I had committed to a shift at the co-op. So.
Well, you know, it's hard to be an activist. You have to make a lot of tough choices.
You've got to balance things.
Demonstration A, demonstration B, or this meeting over here.
Well, there's also, you know, part of the idea about the commemoration of the park is not just, like I said before, about honoring veterans, but for me, the heroes weren't just veterans. I mean, veterans were put in harm's way because of policies that were put by the United States. And a lot of us were ignorant, like a lot of the young people that are going to the war now. But the real heroes to me were the ones that were the conscientious objectors, the people that stood out and refused to go to the war, the kids that died at Kent State. These were the heroes that need to be commemorated. And we need to always look at that. The idea of fighting for peace is the most heroic act that somebody can do. And it takes, in a climate of saying whether you're a patriot, another reason to burn the Patriot Act, is to criminalize. The Patriot Act is trying to criminalize people who speak out in dissent against this government.
Right.
And that's a good reason to come for tomorrow's event, to come down there and say, no, we have a right to be in the streets. We have a right to assemble. We have a right to speak out against our government when we believe it is morally wrong.
We have a duty to do that. If we believe in, you know, being good citizens, then it is our duty to do something about it when our Constitution is being subverted. Well,
part of what we eventually figured out we needed to do with the Portland Peace Camp is to use the City Council communications period. And I remember working on a 3-minute piece about the International Declaration of Human Rights and how to challenge Portland's complicity regarding that. And that was difficult. And can't fit that in 3 minutes.
Well, I commend you for sticking it out for 5 months. I think that was an underappreciated action, I think. And
yeah, but it came in important ways, like the people bringing pizza down or leftovers from wherever they were, and you could tell that they actually were buying 8 or 10 extra dinners, and they weren't just bringing down their leftovers. You could tell.
Well, good.
So that's the kind of appreciation we saw.
And I think that's a testimony to, you know, Portland's a great place full of amazing
people. I mean, there are
people.
Some from that time and other actions and that actions that are still dealing with their legal charges, and that hasn't ended yet. But
that's unfortunate.
Well, contact us, too, and let us know how we can be of help to you on that.
Well, unfortunately, some of those individuals have gone their way, you know, entropy.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Their life
has
taken them elsewhere now. And
yeah.
Well, thanks for everything that you do, and
thanks
for calling.
We hope to see people down at Food Front this weekend.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
503-231-8187 is our number, and I believe we have another caller. So let's talk to that person now. You're on the air. Hello, caller? We don't have another call. Oh.
Hello.
Hello, there you are. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay, just a minute. Yeah, hello.
You're on the air.
Yes, okay. I wanted to ask the men there, do they know of any places like in Nevada where, I'm the mother of a child that was in the first Gulf War, and a place where they, if they they realize that they need to talk about what happened to them in the war. I'm talking about the first Gulf War vets. I was disconnected from him by his ex-wife, and my daughter had some connection with him. Are you there?
Yes, we're there. Go ahead.
And I was disconnected from because of his ex-wife, and for some years after, my daughter had a little connection, and he had told her that he did not fight over there, and I thought that was kind of weird. I couldn't, I wanted to believe that, but then I found out later that he did fight. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that I'm fine. I was reconnected with him about a year or so ago, and I can find his real shut down. And it's affecting our relationship and the children and the grandchildren with him. And
you think he needs to
I don't know what, but I guess it's got to come from him. But in the meanwhile, are there really, if they, these fell, I'm going to just talk about the first Gulf War because it's really affecting my personal life. But is, are there any, like in Nevada, any safe places where a veteran can, if they realize they need to talk about it, where they can go, or just they do not exist?
They do exist, and this is Sean, and I'm also a Gulf War veteran.
He's and, the first Gulf War, but
yeah,
I mean,
same here.
Yeah,
and I'd like to give you a the entire listening public a website that I've set up called soldiersheart.org.
Soldiersheart.org.
Yes, ma'am. Soldiersheart.org.
Yeah, I'm trying not to break down crying.
And it is a website dedicated to helping veterans and their families and their other loved ones in dealing with combat-related post-traumatic stress disorder. And it has pages and pages of information about the disorder and also resources that people can go to, and phone numbers and other websites that people can get to find help for their loved ones.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as I said earlier, our number is 503-231-8187. And if you're just tuning in, this is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. And my guests are Sean and David, and they're both
Dan.
From... Sorry. David, Dan, you know, one of those D names. I'm terribly sorry. Sean and Dan, it's early.
That's all right.
I apologize. And they're both from Veterans for Peace, Chapter 72, which resides here in Portland. And they're here telling us all about the creation of a Portland Peace Park, which is not just for veterans, but for everyone. And that's being... it's being launched this weekend, tomorrow and on Sunday. There's going to be all kinds of things going on down at the corner of Interstate and Oregon, where the Peace Park will be located from now, hopefully for a long time. So if you're interested, there's going to be an event tomorrow at noon at that corner, Interstate and Oregon, on the east side of the Steel Bridge. There's going to be speakers commemorating Operation Dewey Canyon 3, the 35-year anniversary thereof, and on Sunday, groundbreaking for the Peace Park itself, time to get out and dig in the dirt, bring your tools, your rakes, your gloves, your whatever, your weed killers, not chemicals, but, you know, weed whackers or twisters or whatever those things are that you, you know, twist around in the dirt and the weeds come out. They have all kinds. So that's a good thing to do. And it's like I said, this Peace Park is for everyone, not just for veterans. So we have a caller. Let's talk to that person now. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for your efforts. I'm very excited that you're doing this park.
Thank you.
And, and I'm sorry I didn't hear the whole program, but I did just catch the part where the man talking about killing, you know, fetuses, which... I honor those concerns, too, and I appreciated your response. And something I would like to add, and especially I think it's helpful when men say, like, okay, as a man, what are you doing to prevent unwanted pregnancies? Because isn't this really the issue? And to keep putting it onto women and what we have to do to survive, which I know you understand, I haven't understood why this whole issue about abortion for eons keeps getting put on women, and we're bad when we decide we can't have a child, and yet men go, as you were pointing out, and kill and do wars and all this stuff. And what about controlling what they do with their private parts that creates life? So thanks very much for your work.
Thank you.
And anything you want to say in response to that?
Well, I think that we need to create a better society, that
yes.
people don't have to be put in positions to have to give up a child. I
yes.
think that if people believe that they need to reduce unwanted births, then that you're right. Men have to take responsibility. We have to have a society that takes care of kids where young kids aren't getting pregnant so young. We have to get rid of poverty. We need to raise educational levels. But what all those things, while people complain about people making these bad choices, they don't seem to be making, I think it's a political ploy by the right wing to use these very difficult issues that women have to make in these decisions. And it's not just the woman's decision all the time. It's sometimes their friends, their spouses, their families are all involved. But they're not mentioning a lot of other things. There's women that have been victims of rape, and to raise those children is very difficult for somebody. We need to have a better society, and instead of putting money towards war, let's make a society that people can make those choices early in life, and maybe we can get rid of abortion.
Right, and the whole thing in terms of how men are raised in most cultures of what they have to do to prove they're a man totally is what leads to war, leads to unwanted pregnancy, leads to all sorts of unhappiness. So, yeah, thanks for your work and your understanding.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for your call. Well, I think that the caller made a great point that, you know, we do, that is how you're, you know, heavy air quotes, supposed to be a man in this culture, is that you grow up, you join the military, and, you know, you're supposed to serve your country. And, you know, people who are inclined to, you know, join the Peace Corps or go work with the poor in Appalachia, they're considered a little weird. You know, that's not manly enough. And I think it's really time for us to let go of those tired old stereotypes and allow people to be who they really are, you know, and embrace the fact that people, you know, you can be a man or a woman in many different ways. And, you know, to have the let go of these, you know, outdated stereotypes of people's behavior.
That's right.
We have more callers, so let's talk to the next one. You're on the air.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for the show and your guests. Falling Through the Earth is a book that I believe the author is speaking around town or had come through town and Powell and so forth. I wondered if anyone in the room there had a chance to read Falling Through the Earth.
I haven't read it, nothing.
I've heard
wonderful.
About it, but I haven't read it.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, this Danielle Trussoni, young lady, writer, grew up with her Vietnam vet father and really was a favorite of his in his world, even though there were other kids and loving family, blah, 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 but she's the writer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's her experiences of dealing with a father that, you know, was dealing with PTSDs and lots of stories, and he was unfortunately... maybe in the worst of it, I don't know, Tunnel Diver.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
And it's a wonderful story, I think. I think it's helpful. I think someone earlier was asking about resources, like this Soldier's Heart.
Right.
That's great. But the book is what I thought of because I just finished up reading it.
Thank you for the book suggestion. I'm going to be adding that book, I think, to the Soldier's Heart links.
Go ahead.
Hello? Oh, he's got. Okay. Did you want to mention those links now?
Well, I was just thanking the caller for mentioning the book because one of the things that one of the resources that SoldiersHeart.org provides is books to help veterans and family members deal with PTSD. And so I'll be checking out that book, reviewing it for the site.
I think that's a good thing. And I think that, of course, you know, that, well, depending on the age of children that are the children of Vietnam vets, they also may be dealing with the legacy of Agent Orange for their children. You know, I mean, something
doesn't
just go away in one generation, obviously.
My daughter just got married a year ago, and, you know, we were talking about my going to Vietnam at this Agent Orange conference, and she asked me directly, well, could that possibly affect my child if I decide to have a child? And I says, I can't answer your question because, yes, it it can be something that can happen. We're still learning more and more about this, and if it can visit up to seven generations, that created an instant fear in her. And now I hear her talking, well, I don't know if I want to raise a child in this world.
Well, I mean, I think it probably is worse for the people who live in Vietnam because it lingers. Of course, it's still there.
No, it's not.
It's been embedded into your DNA now. So
they found actually that veterans were affected. Sometimes more than even the Vietnamese, because they sprayed around the perimeters of where the veterans were, and that and oftentimes that they were exposed to it at longer times. The other is that right now in Vietnam, a lot of the dioxin that's not exposed to sunlight can degenerate, mm-hmm. and but they have what they call hot spots throughout there. And there was a woman who I met who had actually written a book about these hot spots, and she was Lady Borden is her name, and she's lived there since 1975 or something like that, and she's been writing a number of pieces on Vietnam and Agent Orange. There are so many scientists that have been following this for a long time. Now, they can still go down into the water systems. They may find out that there's a hot spot that they didn't know about. And that's a lot of those are even where people had just dumped the Agent Orange just right as they were leaving the country and just poured it out. And now, if there's jungle cover over the top of it and the sunlight doesn't reach it, it's still there. And now they want to dig a hole around it and contain it. Greenpeace is doing a lot of work over there and trying to deal with this and remove the land. There are people from all over, from Australia. Korean vets were there at this conference. We had a man from Canada who was there because in his town that's where the product was manufactured, and people were affected there. So you don't know the total effects. Almost 4 million people in Vietnam were affected by Agent Orange.
That's harsh.
And you start thinking about all of these kinds of things. Now, what is it going to mean to this war? You know, we got to always say, you know, here is what happened. We're still suffering from it. Our children are worrying about their children. What's going to happen to the veterans, those that survive, and then the post-traumatic stress?
Well, then we have veterans in the Gulf right now. I mean, well, soldiers in the Gulf who are children of Vietnam vets who already have been potentially damaged by Agent Orange.
That's right.
Now they're getting damaged by DU, and they're going to have children, et cetera, et cetera. But let's talk to our next caller. We'll get back to this conversation in a minute. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Could you tell me what happens if a kid goes AWOL? And I'd like to take my answer off the air.
There's a number of things. I mean, it depends on whether they have a support system, and there are organizations around through Veterans for Peace and through other organizations that are working for veterans that are opposing the war that they can contact. And again, Sean's website's a good place to get stuff. Veterans for Peace is a good website. Vietnam Veterans Against the War. These are a number of organizations. Iraqi Veterans Against the War have a number of listings and sites that people can get a hold of. But if they do, there's a number of different processes. I mean, people can turn themselves back in. They can decide that they're going to go to become a conscientious objector. I mean, I went AWOL when I was in the service.
Or something. I mean, you know, there's lots of ways to go.
And returned in 4 days. And sure, you're going to be facing some legal process within the military system. I went before a captain's mast, and unfortunately, I spent 30 days in the brig and then had to sign a waiver to go to Vietnam, and they had chasers on me all the way up to Alaska before going to Vietnam. Now, I didn't go because I was protesting the war. I got drunk and decided to go home and say goodbye to my folks, and I didn't know if I was going to live or die in going to this war, you know. And veterans are dealing with a lot of issues. They wanted to serve their country. At the same time, this is life and death. And that's what people sometimes forget. I mean, we watch movies and video games, and the real issue is life and death. And for whatever reason somebody goes out, they may not even know what it really was that made them go.
Well, not only that, but not just your death, but the death of the people total strangers that if you had met them under different circumstances, you might sit down and, have a cup of tea with or a beer or something, and here you are shooting them. And it's very disturbing.
And to the great list of resources that Dan mentioned, I'd like to add the GI Rights Hotline.
Yes.
And if applicable, the War Resisters League. Both have great resources to help people particularly people who, as a matter of conscience, have decided that this isn't for them. But also with the GI Rights Hotline, they have pretty thorough legal information for people regardless of their situation.
Okay. So it's about 8:28. We'll be here until 9 this morning. We're talking with Dan and Sean from Veterans for Peace about a whole range of issues revolving veterans and the Portland Peace Park, which is being created here. 503-231-8187 is the number. Let's talk to our next caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller, I hear your radio. Hello, hello, are you there?
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
I guess the caller wandered away from their radio. And so there'll be more callers, 503-231-8187. You can call back, though, whoever that was who wasn't paying attention. you gotta be on it. So, Dan, I wanted to get back to something when you were talking a few minutes ago about Agent Orange. Is there genetic testing available now for people who fear that they might be, conflicted about having children, like someone like your daughter? Can she go and consult some specialist who can advise her about her likelihood of having, you know, children that are normal or not? Or,
well, there's talk about when I was in Vietnam, they were talking about certain sorts of tests. I mean, over there, actually, they were looking for a machine that can test Agent Orange in your system 35 years later. In the next generation, I don't know about the DNA process on that. I think it's a hit and miss kind of thing. Like in most births, what they found out is that that people that have been exposed, there's a higher incidence of certain sorts of abnormalities that occur. So it's a direct link to Agent Orange. But it's hard to pinpoint what is the actual cause for certain things? Because some people that have never been exposed to Agent Orange also have birth defects.
Well, I think it's a little ironic in a way, kind of sadly ironic. You said that you're involved with Mecha and all these other Latino groups, and of course a lot of Latino farm workers
been
exposed to these same chemicals, albeit in a different way, a lower exposure over a longer period of time from doing farm work, and they also suffer some of the same kinds of problems with birth defects for their children and, health
cancers,
health problems of their own.
Yeah. I lost a good friend that had worked in the fields many years and then went on to college. He was an artist and was working on his PhD and was in remission for a long period of time, and then eventually it got back onto him, and we saw him before he died, and he's just finishing up his PhD. I mean, there's stories after stories after stories. The thing is, people need to know those things, and because we have to remember the names. Each person had a life, and each life is important, and each life is a whole world, possibilities. But we have to also take the stand against the war and against injustice and start bringing these things together. It's interesting that we have a number of conscientious objectors who are from the Latino community. Camilo Mejia and Pablo Paredes. Pablo, who is interesting. I went to the World Social Forum and also was supposed to speak on a panel with him down there. He couldn't make it at the time. I just spoke to him about a week ago. But he is one of these guys who refused. He was a sailor in San Diego and was going to be deployed to the Iraqi area, but he refused to board based on his conscientious objective, not on a religious basis, but on the idea that the war was illegal.
Well, and he's right, of course.
That's right. And in his court-martial, there were a number of witnesses, and there was an attorney that was present who was asked about the prosecution was just trying to be flippant and saying, well, then I suppose Afghanistan was too. Of course, we know that. Osama bin Laden operating out of there attacked the World Trade Center, and of course, we had the right to go there.
Well,
she countered saying, no, Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, mm-hmm. these were all illegal wars. And the judge, a military judge, basically said, this gives, it sounds to me that this is a right of veterans to, service people to oppose the war because of its illegality. And I think that was a major victory in the language. Now, I don't know if that judge has now been assigned to Siberia or something.
Yes,
but he's now
doing animal court in Poughkeepsie somewhere, yes. Well, we have more callers, so let's talk to our next caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller.
I didn't know you guys. When did you guys kick in that time delay?
Oh, that's pretty recent.
Yeah.
We're not actually doing the time delay, you know, to screen out, you know, naughty words. It's actually to do with our translator, with our transmitter.
Sure.
No, I'm serious.
Well, I know. It's the crackdown, but it's good.
Yeah, so did you have a question, caller?
Yeah, my father was murdered in Vietnam when I was 6 months old, and this is the same war continued by the same companies, by the same people, by the same... It's the continuation of murder and mayhem, and
right.
I'm having a problem with the language using of the support the troops. I'm having a problem where I really don't feel that I should have to support the troops because they volunteered themselves to be there. They took it upon themselves to take that responsibility, knowing that, you know, hey, they're, and then if I file bankruptcy, they're upset because they went to a different country to go to war because they thought they would have a free ride for free money and free education in Germany, just like my father did.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the people who joined up really didn't have a whole lot of economic options, which is probably why they joined.
So what they should do is join the United States military to fight our corrupt government who's murdering, raping, pillaging, and destroying entire countries and economically and stealing their resources. And so I look at this and say, okay, these guys are over there. My dad volunteered to go to Vietnam, but he really wanted to go to Germany. So they sent him to Germany for a week, and then they sent him to Vietnam. He was only there for 2 months. So now we have these guys going to Iraq because they thought they were going somewhere else. But again, how can I feel sorry for them? I'm really having a problem feeling sorry for these guys that put themselves in that position. And then here's the real deal is they're going to come back here and they're going to be the same people firing upon us when we go into martial law in the next couple of years because nobody can afford energy and they're dying in starvation and no heat. So you have the same guys fighting for our freedoms, but we'll come back and take them from us.
Well,
feel this one?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, there's a point to the idea that why do we go into the military at all? You know, and when I went in, I was 19 years old. I didn't have the sort of mental capacity at the time. I kept learning as I was going. I barely made it through high school. I had various difficulties, and various people have different reasons for going. Sometimes it's a career decision. Their family's been in it, and they weren't in the war zones. A lot of people that are going there were in the National Guard, expecting to be serving their country in their own state to help fight fires.
Those guys I back up because they're here. They should be here defending our border.
But people grow and learn, and one of the things that happened in the Vietnam War, one of the guys I went to Vietnam with in the Agent Orange Conference here in the end of March was a guy named Dave Klein, who was who's a president of Veterans for Peace International, and was one of the founders of the Vietnam Veterans for Peace movement. He was wounded in Cochi in Vietnam. He was down and dug in a hole, and a gun. He was pointing a gun up while another person was pointing a gun down. And he was shot. Bullet went through his chest and bounced around and went out, came out some other place. He was an incredible man when you talk to him. But one of the things he did, he was organizing soldiers during the war against the war.
Sure.
And there's a movie coming out called Sir No Sir. He is one of those people that was involved in that and one of the advisors on that film.
Well,
it's a film to check out because I think you begin to understand the mental growth of people as they get involved.
And I think it's hard for you to understand, being as you were just a tiny child at the time,
six months old.
The the depth of the sort of propaganda that people
right.
believed in back then about the communists and how dangerous they were and how they were going to get us, and people really believed that stuff.
They still believe this
well,
stuff.
Well, I know, but
them.
It was
yeah,
really
yeah,
more,
exactly.
it was even more so then, you know?
Yeah.
It's really kind of amazing.
Well, what's amazing now is that we're actually poisoning our own men just like we were in Vietnam
that's
with
right.
Ancient
yeah.
Orange with depleted uranium. Man. I mean, those children of these guys that are over there right now, did you see the front page of the newspaper yesterday with the deformities of the Iraq children?
Yeah.
That's our children.
Yes.
That's right.
Those are our children
that's
in the next 5 to 10, 15 years.
Yeah,
and we're going to have a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate and very glad that both of my children were conceived before I went over there.
Well, I keep saying complacency is criminal, and we must hold the people responsible. And you know who the people responsible are the shareholders of the corporations
yes.
that's right.
that are running this war, the next-door neighbors of you and I.
Well, that's
very
true.
The
right?
other thing, too, is, yes, that's true. And
they're
and
the ones profiting.
We need a army. The only war I believe is the war against poverty and injustice.
Well, we need to rebuild our country and our world, and there's a lot of work to be done. Thank you
well,
so
how do
much.
We, how do, well, if we end on this note, what is a positive step right now that we can take right now today?
Tomorrow, come down and help with the Peace Park. That's a positive step.
So that's tomorrow, and you have the Earth Day at Selwood Park tomorrow at 12
right,
to 4.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So.
Well, the other thing is keep organizing. Keep organizing around these issues. Keep putting it, you know, I wear my button, Veterans for Peace, and it's strange that just that one little item, I have veterans that come up, I fought in Vietnam, or I was in the Iraqi, in the war in the Gulf, and people talk, or I have a child that, lost their life. And people come up and talk, and we be engaged in these conversations. Sometimes it's just one-on-one.
Sure.
Other times, you know, we can raise our voices together, and protest marches help us do that. We're going to have a May Day march in which we should be putting labor, immigration, and this war together.
Right.
We need to connect all these dots, you know.
Yep.
And that's an important thing to do.
The last thing I'd like to say is there's a push coming out from the AFL-CIO and stuff. It's called fusion voting. Are you guys familiar with that at all?
No, I'm not.
Fusion voting is being used by New York for a long time now, like 20 years or whatever, and they're starting to implement that here. They're trying to put that on the ballot. I think they've been trying to put that on the ballot this last 6 months, and I think they actually are going to get it on the ballot. And what that is fusion voting. Educate yourself on it. It is something that we really need to go towards, and that will help us end this regime of fascism and corruption. And so watch for
thing.
The fusion voting.
All right. Thanks a lot
Bye-bye.
For your call.
I'd like to say, you know, I'm glad you used the word fascism. We've been dealing with this issue for quite
mm-hmm.
some time. A lot of people don't want to use the word.
It's true,
I think that, you know, in fact, I did a painting. And when I went down to Venezuela here at the World Social Conference in January, I was invited by Nelson Santana, who had came here in Portland and did some paintings. He saw one of my paintings I had in a show at the Red and Black Cafe and asked me to come down there and do a mural project with the Bente Traicionero, which was the revolutionary barrio at that time. One of the painting, the mural that I did was Three Faces of Fascism, and it has Mussolini, Hitler, and Bush right in the middle.
I like it. And, you know, anyone who doesn't believe that fascism is here should look it up on the Internet and look at the definition. You know, we had a question from a caller earlier about to repeat the name of that book that was mentioned. It was called Falling Through the Earth, and the author was Danielle somebody. I don't remember the last name, I'm afraid. So, but Falling Through the Earth is the title, so there's the answer to your question. We've got about a little bit less than 20 minutes left. So if you have a question, don't wait. Call now, 503-231-8187. And let's talk to our next caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a comment about, I lived in another state during the last election when they cranked up the Swift Boat veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a veteran myself. And I think it's important for everybody to realize that as a broad comment, this is not a veterans issue, the war in Iraq. It's a leadership issue. In that state, they had a special license plate that acknowledged Purple Heart winners. And I had a friend tell me after the Swift Boat veterans savaged John Kerry that every time he saw one of those, he suspected that they were just giving it to them by somebody for some other purpose rather than the real purpose.
That's just absurd. I don't understand this whole, like, people doubt. I mean, you know, some awards are of every kind are given gratuitously, and some are not. I mean, I just think that for people to start second guessing people who receive Purple Hearts, I just think that's just so bizarre that people fell for that.
Well, I totally agree, but that was the rationale with which the Swiftboat veterans approached this whole thing, and I think that we as citizens need to look past the spin that these folks do so well and get down to the real issues, which is the leadership that led us into this war, and not the veterans for the most part.
Well, what is this war about?
Control, profit for Halliburton, about power.
That's right.
It's furthering the agenda of the Project for a New American Century. Again,
sure.
If people have not familiarized themselves with that, I encourage you, if you don't have a computer, go to the library, Google it, PNAC, or Project for a New American Century, and it's a long and scary tome, but read it. And you will be horrified, absolutely horrified. These people not only are seeking global domination, they're seeking domination of the solar system. They are insane.
And that's my point about the Purple Heart thing in the other state, and that's that their whole rationale for rolling this out had to do with power and staying in power.
Mm-hmm. No matter what the consequences.
Absolutely. So their short-term gains were more important than the long-term health of the country.
Well, suppose you got a Purple Heart. What does that mean? You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that were wounded in Vietnam that never got Purple Hearts.
Well, I understand that.
And the main thing is that even as a veteran, I mean, I'm glad that because I'm a veteran that people are willing to listen. They seem to give us some sort of respect. But every single person's voice is important to me. And I think it's when people speak up, you know. Maybe it's because we're angry enough and we suffered this. We saw the light. We know it's life and death, and it's not just some abstract idea that we get angry and we speak out. I know when I first started speaking out, I was shy. I didn't want to speak out in front of anybody or any group. So the only thing that, you know, it's my anger that my passion to say, you know, no more killing. And we have to think, you know, as you were saying earlier, Melody, it's not just about, going to war and defending your country. It's about creating a mindset in people that can pull the trigger on somebody they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to use racism and demagoguery mm-hmm. for you to pull the trigger and discount that life.
Yes.
Because when you look into somebody else's eye, you know that person, you know that culture, you know that language, you know their history. How can you pull the trigger?
That's why the military, and you know, not just the military, dehumanizes people, calls them all sorts of horrible names, gooks and ragheads and things
that's
like
right.
that. Otherwise, people wouldn't be able to look them in the eye so easily and take their life. We've got a couple more callers with 15 minutes left, so let's go ahead and take the next person. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
I guess hi. This is Johnny. I wanted you to speak to the culture of war a little more, or just what you were just touching on just now, because I heard some other programs where the indoctrination, in the military, when I'm not being in the military, so right. you would have better information, but what you're saying, when they try to dehumanize and turn the enemy into something else, but this culture war, that's at the end of the line when you're putting your life on the line, you know, in military duty. But the culture war extends all the way back to the behemoth corporations that are driving it. But what I wanted to talk, you know, you'd address some more is there a way that people, if they do find themselves, you know, in a position where they do volunteer for the military, that they can say, one caller is saying, be in the National Guard, but is it incongruous with human nature, you know, to have to, you know, put on this mantle of the culture of war and have to, you know, break you down so that you're a good fighting unit? Are they actually, do we need to stop that process?
Good question. I mean, I think growing up in this country, you know, many countries actually have national service. And
I think we should too.
I think that's what we need. We need an idea that everybody serves. And if people should be prepared. I mean, when we live in hostile environments, I mean, people should be prepared to defend their country.
Yes.
But to be an aggressor, that's another issue. Mm-hmm. We learn aggression through sports, through mm-hmm. a number of different things, mm-hmm. you know. And it's that sort of culture of masculinity for men. But it's now, it's not just for men. It's women also that are joining in the service and wanting to be identified as a sort of a woman's right to serve and kill. I don't know.
Get it, but you know, I understand why a lot of really poor people who have no options join the military.
That's right.
Men and women.
But
you know?
Why can't the military be turned around and be turned into a service for the entire community? Why can't we be instead of worrying about going and being an aggressor in another country, begin to deal with the environment? You know, clean up the environment, to help build roads, to do things, build schools, create a service of teachers.
These are the kinds of things. CCC again. I mean, that was back in the 30s, and a lot of the wonderful things they built are starting to get a little crumbly around the edges.
Yeah.
And there's certainly enough people who are unemployed that could fill those, you know, positions. Well, let's go ahead and take our next caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning. Good morning, America.
interesting discussion today. Before I get to my main points, touch basically for a moment on that guy that mentioned fusion voting.
Uh-huh.
Oswald West was elected governor of the state of Oregon under fusion voting. He ran, I think, as a Democrat and also as a populist or on the Populist Party. And he's the guy that's responsible for the law that makes beaches public property in the state of Oregon. So that's how dangerous fusion voting is.
And he also, of course, has a wonderful beach named after him.
Yeah, Short Sands, a.k.a. But that same caller made me think about something, and I think it was you, Melody, mentioned that some of these people are joining the service for economic opportunity. And unfortunately, I have three nephews that have done that. They're in all different branches, and I'm just totally appalled that my family sees nothing wrong with them joining up and going and committing murder. I mean, this is a family that was raised supposedly in the Christian faith, and I just don't understand how people don't make the connection. So I think it's really important that people engage with their friends and neighbors and family members that go to church, and that we do grow the peace movement. And so what is the event that...
Yes, let's announce the events again for those who just... because people tune in all the time. Tomorrow at noon at the Portland Peace Park, which is the corner of Interstate and Oregon, there'll be a rally commemorating Operation Dewey Canyon 3, the anniversary thereof. There'll be speakers and all that sort of thing. That's at noon tomorrow. And then on Sunday from, 9 to 5, there's going to be a work party at the same location, corner of North Interstate and Oregon. Northeast Interstate in Oregon, and there's going to be groundbreaking, raking, digging out weeds, you know, hard work.
Actually, I think it is actually North Interstate. Well, that's the end of the east end of the steel bridge, right?
Yes, it is.
Because since Oregon's like almost disappeared, people would have a hard time finding that.
Yes.
Right, but that's the intersection you need to punch into MapQuest in order to find it.
Oh, well, for those of us who don't have computers, it's at the east end of the steel bridge there. Okay.
Yes, on the right as you're coming off the bridge.
But so when he was talking about the guys that joined the military for economic parity, so then I guess if we can accept that as a valid reason for joining the military, what's wrong with the kid in the ghetto there's several different ethnic extractions that they join a gang that sells drugs or prostitution so they can get ahead? So if there's nothing wrong, if you follow that logic, then there's nothing wrong with the kid that murders somebody in a drive-by shooting to protect their corner for prostitution or selling crack or tar heroin or anything, right?
Well, I guess someone who comes to mind is an example of why people join. It's like Lori Paesta was a great example.
Right.
She's the Hopi woman who was killed in combat, right, along with Jessica, I forget her last name. Anyway, she was in her unit.
Lynch,
She and Shoshana Johnson were all, she was also injured. They both were women of color who had no money, no opportunity. Lori was, she had two small children, lived with her parents in a tiny trailer. Her husband, I guess, was out of the picture. And, of course, most Native Americans don't have anything financially. And she had, you know, she wanted to better herself. She had no financial opportunities whatsoever, no job. Here she was in this tiny trailer living with the four other people. And her parents weren't, you know, very well off or able to work, and she had tiny children, and she just felt painted into a corner, and that's why she joined, and that's why a lot of those people joined, because they have no opportunities.
Well, she also, she came from a tradition, the Hopis,
yes,
are a tradition of peace,
yes,
and not being involved in war. And after her actually joining, there was a sort of celebration. This idea of being included in America, mm-hmm, as a Native American. And, you know, because I was studying the Hopi at one time, and it admired their opposition to war and this sort of peaceful movement that they had throughout there, and actually warned against the sort of apocalyptic prophecy of wars and on nuclear holocaust, you know. So in their whole message was to bring all the people together in the circle again, mm-hmm, to create peace in the world. And that's so I was kind of shocked by that. But there's this over, you know, what does it mean to be a Native American,
yes,
and be not an American?
Well, not only that, but she, of course, you know, was in a supply unit, so she wasn't thinking that she would see a lot of combat,
yeah,
I'm sure. But, you know, there's a lot. Are you still there, caller? No, he's gone. Okay, but I just think that there's a lot of reasons why people, I think a lot of us just don't appreciate their whole areas of the country where there,
right,
are, like, no jobs at,
well,
all.
Well, not everybody in the military actually goes to war, you know. I mean, not everyone that's even in the conflict,
right,
fire a weapon at anybody.
Right, right.
In comparison to Vietnam, you know, the death toll is minuscule. But for me, one life is one too many. I think we can't just talk about the service people. It would be great if everybody would say, we refuse to cooperate, mm-hmm, with this capitalist system of exploiting the rest of the world and using our power to put our foot on the back of their necks. But at the same time, it would be great if the people that build the planes refused to go to work. You know, it'd be great if you didn't pay your tax dollars to, you know, how many of us are brave enough to do that and not want to spend the rest of their time in jail? Well, there are conscientious objectors, and there are people that are tax resistors, and there are people making certain decisions that way. And I think, you know, again, we still have an opportunity to press our labor movements in this country to take a position on this war, and we should be calling for a general strike across this country. I know that with the May Day event that they are calling for a general strike.
It's
now, I don't know how many
unions.
Yeah. And it may be just the beginning stages of a labor learning to exercise its power. And that power is the power of the people. And I still believe that. That was one of the calls in the 60s. It's the calls in the civil rights movement. And I think it's still true.
Well, one of the problems with America, of course, is that it's so huge. It's hard to get us to, we're like, you know, the one end of the dinosaur doesn't know what the other end is doing. But slowly but surely, we're waking up. We just have time for one more call. And let's go ahead and put that person on the air. Hello, caller. Caller. I thought we had a caller. No?
Maybe we don't.
Perhaps we don't.
I think so.
Oh,
oh, there
you are.
Go.
Okay,
hello?
I thought we did.
Go ahead.
I was like, okay, great. Welcome to the show.
Hey, great show, great premise. I'm a Vietnam vet. Spent a whole lot of time getting my head back together. But one thing I realized over the years is that there's a lot of talk about honoring veterans and those that have made the ultimate sacrifice, et cetera, et cetera. And my stock answer at this point is the highest honor that we can give to veterans is to create no more of them.
Thank you.
Nobody,
here, here.
All the way.
Nobody up there at Willamette Cemetery gave up their life so they could have that plot to be buried in. What they gave their life up for was the fact that if I die or if I make this effort, somebody else doesn't have to in the future. That's allegedly why we go to war, is to create peace. So if we're going to honor our veterans, we need to create no more of them. That's the highest honor available.
I agree.
Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for everything you do. You've done a great.
We got to answer that
a
question.
A great thing in life.
Otherwise, it ends up the highest honor is a plot with a little flag, and that's not what they. That's not what they did.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Right on.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. So many good people have given their lives and still continue to do so. Okay, one last caller. We'll squeeze you in. You just have a moment, so go ahead. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, morning. Yeah, that last caller pretty well covered it. Although one thing that I would add, obviously it's pretty clear that Bush and his cronies are trying to steal all of the money. They're kind of like a
yes.
super
mm-hmm.
comic book villain.
Exactly, like Snidely Whiplash or something.
Yeah, much worse. Goldfinger times 10. And the idea that they would take all of the money of the world and force us to dance to their tune. Back in 1776, the reason Washington was freezing at Valley Forge was the revolutionaries had printed their own money and the British had started counterfeiting it. So what we're going to have to do, essentially, to gain our freedom again, is to refuse to use the money that they want us to use. We're going to have to create our own local economies. We're going to have to create our own global economy. And the money that Bush and his cronies have stolen is going to be worthless because we refuse to use their kind of money. When we've got global warming, we've got international crises that demand that people be able to feed and clean up the hazardous waste and a variety of other huge problems, you know, the healthcare problems and whatnot. These are all because of the money that these people have stolen. So it's essentially a concept of Moses called Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because all three religions, the Muslims, the Christians, and Jews, all believe
forgive
in
the
Moses.
Debt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much for your call.
Yeah, no trouble.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here this morning and for everything that you
thank
do,
you.
For being involved in Veterans for Peace. And let's one more time remind people that tomorrow at noon at the corner of Interstate and Northeast Oregon on the east end of the Steel Bridge is at the newly christened Portland Peace Park. There'll be all kinds of speakers and activities going on commemorating Operation Dewey Canyon 35 years later. And then on Sunday from 9 to 5 at that same location, it's groundbreaking time to bring all your garden tools and your gloves and your strong back and help create the Peace Park and make it a reality. We're going to be breaking ground for the actual peace sign that they're putting into the ground. So everybody, veteran or not, who supports peace and wants to work for a better world, come on down. Keep on being positively revolting until next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's 9 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Marlena's Electronic Salon.